sifter.com.au.
G'day, I'm Chris Button, and this is Drop Rate, Sifter's video game review podcast. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth follows up the ambitious remake project of a beloved JRPG classic, and GameSub's Leah J. Williams explains how its slower pacing makes for a more personal experience. First, let's check out the latest headlines from Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast.
Hi, I'm Kyle Paletto.
And I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And here are the top stories this week on Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly news podcast for Sunday, 28th of April.
Embracer is dead. The company will split up into three parts as CEO eats crow after the capitalist implosion reaches a conclusion.
Escape from Tarkov players are up in arms as developers introduce a $250 pay-to-win mode.
Fortnite will let you block those sweaty emotes with strangers that were just a little bit too mean if you want to.
And Fallout 76 hits a massive player milestone after the launch of the TV series.
You can get every episode of Walkthrough for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or on our website sifter.com.au every Sunday.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/Discord.
So, Leah, after where Final Fantasy VII Remake left us, where does Rebirth pick up from and sort of where does it take us?
Well, Rebirth is obviously the second game in a major trilogy, so it is the saggy middle chapter, but I think Square Enix does a great job to kind of pick up the pace and to kind of keep things going from where we left off in Remake. For those who have played the game, minor spoilers, it does kind of end on a massive cliffhanger. Our lovely crew of friends has saved the world or done the first part of saving the world, and they're on the trail of Sephiroth, who is the big bad evil they are trying to defeat. So Rebirth kicks off in the wake of that. It basically follows directly on from those events. There are some flashbacks that it kicks off with where Cloud and Sephiroth kind of rediscover their past in a way. There has been a lot of debate about whether or not you need to play Remake before you play Rebirth. I do think you really do need to play Remake. It's such an important chapter, and I think there are so many things that Rebirth explores that probably won't make sense if you haven't played Remake. What are your thoughts? Do you reckon people could kind of skip the first one?
I totally agree that you've got to play Remake before Rebirth, and this is coming from someone who hadn't actually played the original Final Fantasy VII, so I jumped into Remake completely fresh, knowing that it was more than, say, a one-to-one recreation of the original game. But obviously, the original game wasn't a three-game multi-part series. But I totally agree, because there were a lot of interesting things that Remake did narratively and thematically in terms of tearing and clawing at the fabric of fate, and sort of the insinuation, the sort of conclusion of Remake suggesting that perhaps this won't follow the same plot beats, or this won't follow the same conclusion that one might think is foregone if you're familiar with the plot of the original Final Fantasy VII. So, yeah, totally agree. And Rebirth, there's a lot of things that it starts off with very interestingly, as you say, with that flashback sequence and what's going on with Cloud's memory. There's a lot of interesting things that go on there. And one of the things that Rebirth hinges on quite heavily is its characters and the character development. And one of the things that you touched on in your review on Games Hub was that Rebirth allows a lot of time for these character moments, or these moments between characters to breathe, and it slows things down quite deliberately in a lot of places to let this actually happen. So I'd love to hear what you think about how Rebirth handled its characters and the development that was sort of, I suppose, fostered by its deliberate pacing.
Yeah, for sure. I think it is a very different game to Remake in that in Remake, you had the introduction to absolutely all the characters. You really needed that breakneck pace to make sure that everybody kind of got there, their introductory sequence, their chance to shine. You needed to know the stakes. Again, very, very action heavy. With the second game, it is obviously the middle chapter between two very large story segments. So it does take the time to slow things down. And I think a lot of that works really well. I think there is a lot of filler in the game in that there is a lot of focus on mini games. Most of them are not essential. They are very fun. But perhaps some of them take a little bit away from the action in terms of slowing down the pace. But I think what Rebirth does really well is giving every character time to shine. And even smaller characters who even in the original game didn't get much time. So Yuffie gets a lot more time to kind of be her own character. She gets a lot of character development. She becomes a lot more interesting. Vincent is a lesser part of the game, but he does get his own moments to shine. People like Sid as well. Just the way that the story is done and the sort of scope that you get with the mini games and the slower pace does mean you get sort of smaller dialogue moments that reveal a lot more about those characters. So I think in that regard, the pacing is really well done. But I do think that there probably is perhaps a little bit too much filler in some parts.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even you say the word filler and it often carries a negative connotation in terms of, you know, it adds sort of arbitrary bloat or playtime to something that could be a little bit more condensed. But in terms of a lot of those mini games, side quests, and you know, a lot of this stuff that sort of establishes more of the world that you're existing in, do you think for the most part it adds to the experience?
For sure, yeah. I do think particularly because a lot of this game is revolving around the Golden Saucer, which is one of the big set pieces. I think the games do give you that time to kind of explore that area, and it does, like, there are moments that reveal a lot more about characters. For example, there's a minor mini game where everyone gets turned into frogs. And it sort of, it arrives in a story beat where Cloud and Tifa basically jump in to defend a bunch of kids. And that's kind of how the minigame comes about and how you unlock it. And I think despite the fact that the minigame is very, very silly and very different to the rest of it, I think that it also does reveal a lot about the characters of the game still. So it also depends how much time you're willing to put into those minigames. For me personally, just as a game reviewer, you kind of generally, when you have a very short scope to kind of a very short time limit to review a game, you will have to skip over those sort of like more extraneous parts of the game. So I didn't spend a lot of time with those games. So I guess it didn't really impact my experience a whole lot. But I'm still kind of, I'm glad they're there. Like, I'm glad that they're optional and they kind of do flesh out the world of Final Fantasy a lot more.
And I suppose you've touched on there as well, the fact that you can choose to engage with them or not, and it doesn't necessarily impact your experience one way or the other. But especially when you're talking about mini games where your characters turn into frogs, or you know, you're tracking down chocobos in the wild and doing a lot of these things, you know, given the very dire circumstances of the world, you know, these rather perhaps seemingly trivial pursuits that you can engage in Rebirth does add a certain bit of charm, I think. And I'd love to hear what you think about sort of the tone that Rebirth strikes, because there is a lot of silliness, there is a lot of fun and lightheartedness and brevity. And I'm coming from a place where not that long ago I was immersed in the very grim, dark world of Final Fantasy 16, which in itself is a very different setting, very different tonally. And now we're here with Rebirth with a lot of this more lighthearted approach to its storytelling. So what did you think of that?
Look, I think it manages the tone pretty well. I think it's quite interesting because if you look at the main party of the game, you kind of get the whole spectrum of what video games can be. You've got people like Vincent, who are like the gothic dark characters. Then you have Cait Sith, who is a robotic toy brought to life and who has multiple bodies and just really weird and silly. And Red 13, who's a talking dog cat thing. Wolf. Wolf, cat. Do you reckon more cat or more dog?
I don't know. My partner's described Red as a cat, which on that note, seeing Red 13 ride a chocobo is
hilarious.
One of the silliest things I've seen in video games, and I love it.
Yep. It is quite funny how the developers have managed to kind of wrangle his character model to fit the writing. It's a very, very interesting character model.
Yes, it's very, yes, very indeed. Funny.
But I guess like that's part of the silliness, you know? Like you have these really big world-ending stakes, you know, Sephiroth is a really terrifying villain, you know, the world's ending. And I think to have a game that is still fun and pleasant to play, I think maybe the tone is kind of, it's important to strike both tones because you need that levity so that it's not constantly depressing, you know? Every time the main cast stumble, there is still hope because they can be funny about it or, you know, everybody knows one of the major spoilers of the game. Like, it's quite, there's a very depressing thing that happens towards the end of the game. It's very famous. And I feel like with something like that, it has the potential to kind of, I guess, like ruin the vibe, ruin the mood. Like, you end the game on that kind of note, and then you still want that sense of hope and that sense that something good is going to happen in the future. And I think so having the characters have that humor and like having the mini games and having it be a little bit lighter hearted, I think does give you that hope.
Yeah, and it does make those emotional beats hit harder when they do arrive as well, because you have built such a connection and fondness, you know, of these characters, so that, you know, if anything happens to them, you feel that quite acutely. And it's something that, although I'm not someone who has played a lot of the Final Fantasy series, the ones that I have, it is something that I think the series does consistently do quite well. And that's been true of my experience with Rebirth as well. And I'm curious, because you mentioned about the sort of the action as well, that sort of sometimes takes a back seat to some of the side jaunts and a lot of the character development that happens. But what did you think of the combat, especially with how they've sort of tweaked it a little bit from Remake?
Yeah, look, I still really enjoyed the combat. I think it's very similar to Remake, but it's slightly tweaked in terms of the character synergies. And I think that probably comes hand in hand with the game being a more personal sort of character-driven adventure. Like even the combat is now more character-driven in that you can sort of level up all of your characters together. They can get to know each other better and kind of like work together on the battlefield, and you can see how they work together, which is quite nice. I really enjoy any time Cloud puts Tifa on his sword and like flings her at the enemy. So it's always very fun. I really like the combat. I think it's simple but layered. So when you're actively doing it, you know, it's not like a complicated button inputs or anything like that. It's sort of like you can build up your basic attacks and then figure out what kind of synergies you want, or whether you want to deploy like spells and things like that. I really liked being able to unlock free magic in the main skill tree, because then you don't have to spend anything really. You can just keep spamming magic attacks. And particularly for metal enemies, it's great to have lightning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Got good use out of, you know, not having to spend MP for any of those spells and, you know, chaining combos and whatnot. One thing the combat reminds me of, and I read this recently, and I wish I could remember where it was specifically so I could shout this person out, but I heard someone describe Final Fantasy VII Rebirth as the Kingdom Hearts 2 of this generation, or the Kingdom Hearts 2 of Final Fantasy. I'm not sure if you're a Kingdom Hearts person like I was growing up. I very much am.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I wonder if that's a statement that sort of resonates with you at all in terms of your experience with Final Fantasy, in terms of to use the word synergies between the combat and the levity that's within the game.
Look, I think in terms of the combat, potentially in terms of how it's evolved, I think that's a fair comparison, because with Kingdom Hearts 2, that was sort of the one that started introducing a lot more combos, like, and combat was a lot more fluid. But I'm not sure if I would agree from a story standpoint, only because I do feel like Remake was the more sort of action oriented and action heavy one, and for me personally, I quite liked that part of it, whereas with the slower pace of Rebirth, I still love the game. I think it's amazing, but I think I would have liked a few more like big action set pieces rather than playing cards in my downtime.
So not a fan of Queen's Blood then?
Look, I really did like it. I like the game. I think it's very addictive, but I wasn't very good at it. And maybe that has colored my perception.
So in terms of the pacing of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, you mentioned that you really enjoyed the start of the game, but it was the middle that sort of plodded along a little bit before it picked up for those last 15 hours. So I'm curious as to what was it exactly that helped things pick up for you?
For me personally, I might be a bit biased, but as soon as Vincent Valentine appears, I think the game picks right up. I do think that's sort of a consequence of that, the fact that from Shinra Mansion onwards, I do think that the game is a lot better paced. There are a lot more interesting set pieces. There's a lot less, a lot fewer mini games, a lot fewer side quests, and it's sort of a lot tighter with the action, I think, because the stakes kind of ramp up. You get a lot more backstory between Cloud and Sephiroth. I think it explores the remnants a lot more and sort of what they are. And there are a lot of discoveries that kind of kick off the next phase of the game. And it is sort of a natural consequence of the later half of the game, sort of paving the way for the end game, for the final, or the third and final part of the trilogy, which I assume we will have to wait many, many years for. But no, it does set up those events really, really well. And it sort of gives everyone sort of a bit more motivation to keep going. It also illuminates a lot more about each individual character. And I think it's just a really, really interesting kind of end to the game and sort of the way that Square Enix also weaves in the history of Final Fantasy and the expectations of players, I think is quite interesting.
You've sort of answered what I was going to ask next in terms of, I think when Square Enix initially said, okay, we're going to make this remake project a three-parter, a lot of people were thinking, how are you going to stretch that out? So this will sort of reiterate a little bit what you said in your previous response, but how well ultimately do you think Rebirth sits as that sort of middle portion of the trilogy in terms of, yeah, how well it sets up for this finale in what I suppose will be another 4 or 5 years down the track now?
Yeah, look, I think it does it very well. But I almost wonder if it's going to be in four parts in the end. I would worry if it was four parts, but just looking at the ground that it's covered and the ground that Remake covered versus how much is left to go, I think is very interesting, because I do think that there is a lot of material left to cover. And I do think it could potentially be stretched out into like another chapter or two. But where Rebirth leaves off, I will not spoil it for people who want to play the game. I guess that's not the point of the podcast. But I do think it leaves it in a really interesting position where it has kind of dealt with a lot of questions about Final Fantasy and its legacy and sort of played with people's expectations a little bit, but then also pave the way for people like Vincent and Cid to get sort of a bigger shot in the next game and for Sephiroth to hopefully finally get his comeuppance. So no, as a middle chapter, I think it does very well.
And very important question, opinion on Chadley.
I do not like Chadley. I
Oh, thank goodness.
Look, I think, well, he did contribute one very amazing moment to the game where he hands Cloud his little machine and it says, "You have equipped the Chad module." I think that's fantastic. I love that. But beyond that, Chadley is not for me. I think especially, well, I think he also started off on the wrong foot, because when he first talks to you, he like goes through the DualSense remote. And I just was not paying attention, and suddenly I heard this disembodied voice from my controller, and I was a little bit frightened, you know, like it just completely like was not thinking about it, and it was like, what was that? What was that? And it was Chadley.
This disembodied AI child voice speaking at you in a slightly condescending tone. I think it's enough to unnerve anyone. So I'm glad on that we agree. Goodness.
I do also think the Intel missions are interesting, but they are kind of repeats of things that you do in the main game. And for me personally, I didn't actually need any of the upgrades that he was promising. So I kind of avoided a lot of those Intel projects as I was running around.
Sure, which, yeah, goes back to the earlier point of saying there's a lot of side stuff. For the most part, you can take it or leave it, which I think is always good. There's choice for you to engage in what you know want to do and want to skip over. So with all that in mind, do you drop or rate Final Fantasy VII Rebirth?
I absolutely rate it. I think it's a great game. I think it's a great middle chapter. there's just so much going on in the game. But for me personally, the things I loved the most were getting to know the characters a bit more, sort of the pacing of the story, the unfolding mystery, which I still don't know what's going on with Cloud by the end of the game. It does not tell you what's going on. I have avoided spoilers for the last 20 odd years or however long the first game came out because I didn't play that. I don't want to be spoiled, for the record. But no, it's really good. I think it keeps the mystery going. It keeps the action going. It is a little bit slower paced than Remake, and I think that may surprise some people because Remake was a very action-heavy game, whereas this one spends a lot more time on dialogue and a lot more time on character building. But it's great. I absolutely rate it.
So that is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, a very compelling second chapter to this very interesting retelling of an absolute JRPG classic.
Sit down for a chat with your pals in video games.
You're listening to Sifter.
This has been Drop Rate by Sifter, our video game review podcast. Thank you very much for your time, Leah. And if people would like to read your work on Games Hub or follow your games coverage, where can they find?
Yep, so I am writing almost every day on gameshub.com. I cover things like news and reviews and interviews, absolutely everything under the sun. If you want to follow my unhinged thoughts, I am on Twitter at Leganet. Other than that, I kind of spend a lot of my time reading and not spending time online.
Wonderful. A good way to be. I admire your commitment to being offline. Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the theme music. And Sifter is produced by Chris Button, Courtney Barrett, Kyle Pauletto, Fiona Bartholomeus, Daniel Ang, and Adam Christo. Mitch Lowe is senior producer, and Gianni DiGiovanni is executive producer. That's all for this week. You can check out what Sifter is up to on our socials, wherever you can find us, and a whole bunch of other channels, including our own Discord server, which will include a link in the show description. And if you enjoyed this episode of Drop Rate, please consider leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It helps put us in front of more people so we can keep providing you with more in-depth coverage. And you can also check out our other podcast, Lightmap, where we talk to game developers, creatives, and people who are doing cool things in interactive media, which is also available on your favorite podcast app of choice. And if you like games coverage in written form, you can visit sifter.com.au for articles, interviews, and more. Thank you for joining us. See you next time.
Hey there, Gianni here on the latest episode of Lightmap, Sifter's interview podcast. Trent Custers from Melbourne's League of Geeks joins me to share the pretty candid story of how their studio almost came to its end.
The thing that I said to Blake, who's the game director on Jump Light Odyssey, and, you know, we've got to remind ourselves, is that it literally was just a logic puzzle. Like, we did not have enough money to take one team all the way through till, say, late 2024, which is the amount of time that Jump Light Odyssey needed to be completed. We've got to put this one game that's already out there that has a bunch of potential and then invest it in this other game that, you know, very clearly, because we can see the wish list, doesn't have this, and it's always been the case. Like, Solium Inferno is the weirdo strategy game, right? It was never the commercial front runner out of the two. You know, you don't get to pick and choose. It actually, the decision is made for you.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube, or head to our website, sifter.com.au.